Tonight's Bible reading is from Proverbs chapter 26, verses 13 to 16. The sluggard says, "There is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly."
The book of Proverbs can actually be quite humorous at times when you read some of the things that come. And you might recognize in some of that sometimes the sayings that we have secularly are based upon Proverbs. Tony Campolo has written a number of books, and when he wrote earlier, he actually wrote really well. He was orthodox, conservative theologically, and as time progressed, he moved more and more to the liberal side. So I wouldn't be reading any of his stuff now. But in one of his earlier books, he writes about a church that had invited him to go there and preach at this church. And he said they were having a prayer meeting before the service. And he was warned that there's a particular man who would pray the same prayer over and over again. And it was becoming a little bit tiresome. Now, I'm not recommending you do this at a prayer meeting, so please don't follow his example. But this prayer meeting started before the service, and this man prayed and said, "Oh Lord, the webs of temptation have come around me, and the webs have encircled me. And oh Lord, the webs of temptation have caused me to sin. Lord, please remove the webs." And barely had he finished, and someone in the prayer meeting shouted out and prayed to the Lord, "No, Lord, kill the spider." And the problem with this particular man is that it's easy to become complacent and lazy about our spiritual life, isn't it? It's easy not to take care of it and to treat symptoms. The webs are the symptoms. The root cause was the spider. And the fact is, he wasn't putting it to death. And he wasn't putting it to death because that requires effort. That requires hard work. And the life of being a Christian requires hard work. It's discipleship, discipline, bringing yourself into submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just suddenly grow spiritually through osmosis. It's not as if we can put our Bible under the pillow and hope that during the night the words of the Bible will filter through our pillow into our intercranium, into our head, into our intercellular brain cells. And suddenly when we wake up the next morning, we've memorized Genesis off my heart. It just doesn't work like that. It requires hard study. And so the writer to the Proverbs deals with not just us in terms of our spiritual disposition, but in terms of our whole disposition regarding laziness. And what he says is that a folding of the hands to rest is what the sluggard is good at, what the lazy person is good at. And there are certain consequences that come with that kind of attitude to life. And so he speaks to us, and God speaks to us through his work, about the need for us to get rid of those things in our life that might drive us to laziness. Now, some people temperamentally are more likely to fall into the category of, because of their temperament, of being lazy. If you are a laid back kind of a person, it's probably that you are less likely to be as driven as some people who just never stop working. I mean, the opposite problem, of course, is there are those who do too much. And so we don't want to fall into either category. We want to find some balance in the middle. But if we are inclined towards being a little less diligent, then this has a word for all of us. Firstly, I want you to notice the sluggard's character. The sluggard's character. Verses, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 through to 11. And I've got them, I think, on screen. "He will not begin things." In other words, he procrastinates. "How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. The sluggard is depicted as one who is not interested in working and would rather do nothing all day. The writer says that much sleep will bring poverty on the sluggard. He will be unproductive. In other words, this is the kind of person who looks to get out of every possible job. The sluggard denies his laziness and was simply saying, I'm just catching a quick snooze. I'm just having a quick rest. It's just a folding of the hands. The problem with the sluggard is that that's what he does most of the time. He rests. Now, this is not a word against those who have a Sunday afternoon sleep or who might have a nap occasionally. But this is talking about someone who is constantly looking for ways to get out of work so that they can sit back and do nothing. Now, it might not necessarily involve sleep. But the point that the author is making is that these are the kinds of people who just don't like to do anything. And any excuse of getting out of starting something is the excuse that they will use. The very act of being lazy, therefore, the proverb says, will bring poverty on such a person. If you are not diligent and you wonder why you end up in poverty, well, there's a good reason for that. And the author raises that to the surface. He is the ultimate procrastinator. Now, let's just pause here for a moment because I don't want us to misunderstand procrastination. I think to some extent, everyone procrastinates in some area at some point in their lives. Procrastination is I put things off till a later date until I can't put them off anymore and I have to do them. Who's ever completed an assignment for university the night before? Yes, I think many of us have done that, and we kind of put it off. Now, there are different reasons for procrastination. Procrastination may be that I don't know how to do the job. I'm just ignorant, and I'm not sure how I'm going to get this essay completed. I'm not sure how I'm going to get this job completed. And so because we're not sure, we kind of push it away and push it away and push it away till inevitably the deadline comes, and we have to get it done, and then we rush to get it done. Some people procrastinate because they work best under pressure. And so they like to put pressure on themselves through their procrastination. And they leave things and leave things. And then when the last minute comes, they spark and they fire and they get stuff done. And that's just the way that they function. He's not talking about that kind of procrastination. He's talking about the person who procrastinates on everything. They put everything off for a later day. Not because they don't know how to do it. Not because they function better under pressure, but just because they don't like doing things. And so they put it off in the hope that somehow it's going to get done, and eventually deadlines comes and deadlines pass, and they haven't got it done. Have you been in that situation? Have you gone to a lecturer and said, can you give me an extra couple of days? My assignment is late. Procrastination can be very, very debilitating. And it can cause us to take the time that God has given us and not use it as productively as we ought. I'll never forget in the previous church, there was a young man who had put on his wall, who was studying at university, the slogan, procrastination is the thief of time. It steals time. It robs us of the use of time productively. Procrastination causes us not to make use of every opportunity. Colossians 3 verse 23 reminds us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And those who procrastinate kind of allow the opportunities that God gives them to slip past. Don't give due diligence to their spiritual life. Put off their quiet time till tomorrow, till the next day, till the next day. Put off their prayer life and never ever get round to getting into a disciplined kind of setup where at least they are being consistent, if not perfect, with the way in which they operate. Secondly, he will not finish things. Not only does he not start things, he does not finish things. Look at 12:27, 19:24, and 26:15. The lazy man does not roast his game. But the diligent man prizes his possessions. 19:24. The sluggard buries his head in the dish. He will not even bring it back to his mouth. Now that's the epitome of laziness. He can't even pick up the fork to put the food in his mouth. He's so lazy. Proverbs 26:15. The sluggard buries his head in the dish. Same thing. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. Here the person is depicted as one who never completes a task. In the same way the hunter is too lazy to cook his meal, too lazy to roast his game, too lazy to actually eat. And now that's not necessarily meant literally, but the point is being made. This is the kind of person who starts projects and somehow never ever finds the time to complete it. I've met people like that. The sluggard does not plant in the rainy season because it's too cold, it's too icy. And the sluggard may not plant correctly when he does, because he does it in a rushed way so that he can get it finished. And he may not even finish it and only end up planting half of his field. And this causes him to end in poverty. Even when he does manage something, even when he does manage to do a task, he never does it properly, but leaves the task half done, half finished. Have you met people like that? Mark 4, verses 8 and 19. Jesus reminds us of the seed in the thorns. Still others, like seed sown amongst the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and desires of the heart for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. They start well. They look good as Christians. They exhibit some spiritual growth. But as soon as trouble comes, they're gone. They get distracted by other things in the world. And they don't persevere to the end in their faith. Or Acts 20, verse 24. Here the Apostle Paul. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of grace. Here is the opposite of laziness. Here is Paul saying, I will do everything I can, dependent on the grace of God, to finish the task which He has set out before me. Or, let's take the ultimate example of one who finished what he started. When Jesus had received the drink, He said, it is finished. And with that, He gave up His spirit. If we're looking for an example, and we contrast the person who never finishes, contrasting with the one who faced all kinds of difficulty, all kinds of challenges, who finishes the race, who sees it out to the end, who dies on a cross, who suffers in our stead, who experiences the wrath of God, who is cut off from God in that moment on the cross, it's Christ who epitomizes what it looks like to finish the race. I've met, unfortunately, in my pastoral ministry, those who exhibit signs of faith, those who seem to be going on after the Lord, those who seem to be walking in step with God. And as time progresses, a crisis hits and the crisis overwhelms and they turn away and they walk away from their faith. I've met many over the years in that situation. And so my question to you this evening is, don't start well and not finish. Don't begin in faith and then drop out because worldly things distract you, because hardship hits you. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ, follow His example, trust in Him, rely on Him, draw strength from Him, and persevere and persevere and persevere. Remember that God will give you the right kind of strength to face any difficulty you face in this world and will see you through to the end. He who began a good work in you is able to bring it to completion. God is able. If we will trust Him and rely upon Him and look to Him and seek His grace in enabling us to complete the tasks that He sets before us. Thirdly, He will not face things. He will not face things. 22:13. Proverbs 22:13. Okay, 26:16. The sluggard buries... I've read that one. Let me just go to these. Proverbs 23:13. So come with me. We'll read some. I'll do some hard work tonight. Did you bring your Bible? Okay, 26:13. I have got it. Sorry, I'm obviously not 22:13. Sorry, not 26:13. Oh, I'm having a bad night. It's a bad week. The sluggard says, "There is a lion outside, or I will be murdered in the streets." And then if you go to Proverbs 26:16, which I do have, "The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answers discreetly." Or Proverbs 20:4, "A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing." Proverbs 15:19. "The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway." Proverbs, and then Proverbs 26:13, and we've read those. So the point here that is being made is that the sluggard starts to believe his own excuses. The sluggard has always got an excuse. Always got an excuse why he can't finish. Always got an excuse why he's late in starting something. Always got an excuse as to why he can't help. Always got an excuse as to why the task is half done. So there's never a point in their lives where they take responsibility for their inability or their incompetence in completing something or their laziness. They always blame something else or always blame someone else. It's never their fault. And they begin to believe their own propaganda. So the man who comes out in the street says, "There's a lion in the street. I'm not going to go outside. There's no lion in the street." But he begins to believe that there is a lion in the street. And he allows that lie to so infiltrate into his head that it starts to become truth for him. Now, I have, in my pastoral experience, met people who tell a lie. And they tell a lie again, and they tell it again, and eventually the lie becomes the truth. And they begin to believe the lie because they've repeated it so often that they can no longer realize or understand or distinguish between the lie that they've repeated and the truth of the matter as it really stands. And this is the sluggard. They believe their own lies. It is implied that he is fundamentally dishonest. He tries to sidestep hard work. He tries to get out of it. He tries to impress upon those who ask him to do something why he can't do it and finds any excuse in the book to get out of doing a job. Have you met people like that? I've met people in churches that no matter what you ask them to do, I'm sure there's no one like this in this church, no matter what you ask them to do, they've always got a good reason why they can't do it. Always. The thorns also implies the difficulty he sees that prevents him from moving forward. In other words, they look at what they're being asked to do and they see potential difficulties that aren't really there. They create their own difficulties in their own minds, and those difficulties become hindrances to them getting involved in serving. Can I encourage you, be careful that you don't believe your own propaganda. Be careful that you don't fall into the trap of allowing yourself to always find a reason why you just cannot serve in God's church. It's very easy to slip into. It's very easy to do. Fourthly, he will not be content. Verse 13:4. He will not be content. So let's go there. Verse 13:4, 21:25. So read with me. Verse 13:4. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Hear that. The sluggard craves and get nothing. They want things. They dream about things. They want to achieve certain things. But because they're not willing to put their hand to the plow, because they're not willing to actually do the hard work that requires for them to achieve what it is they're dreaming for, they end up with empty hands and they end up with nothing. Look at Proverbs 21:25. The sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse the work. So here is the craving to want something, the desire that is overwhelming. They know it. They know where they want to be. They know what they want. But because they're not prepared to do the hard yards in order to get there, they'll never ever achieve it. Now let me try and use a really practical illustration. I play golf, as you know. Now, my golf is not very good. And the reality is, in order to get better at golf, I would need to go home, and we've got a golf net that we bought during COVID, and I would need to spend 15 minutes to half an hour every day going through golf drills to get better. But I'm not prepared to do the work. So when I get onto the golf course, my ball goes left, right, and everywhere except straight. And I have to live with the consequences of not taking time to practice. And it is the same for the lazy when it comes to work. Not sport, but work. Or it comes to serving. They're not prepared to do the hard yards. And so all that they do ends up as a half job. And they're never content. Because it's never satisfying when you do a half job. Proverbs 15:19. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Proverbs 18:9. One who is slack in his work is a brother to one who destroys. I'll come back to that. And then Proverbs 10:26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who send him. Now what that's saying is that when you encounter this kind of a person and you are their boss, you've employed them, you've got them to work for you, they cause great pain and hardship because you know that they're not diligent, and then the process of having to get rid of them requires a long process. Now, I'll give you again an illustration of this. My wife's, I've got to get this right, cousin, that right, in America, your cousins. My wife's cousin said they had someone who was employed in Japan that was part of a company, and this person was not doing their job properly, and they were wanting to fire them because they were just not doing the job. But in Japan, because of the labor laws, it's impossible to do that. And the process you have to go through in order to get rid of the person is so long and arduous that it wasn't worth for them to go through that process. So the way they got around that is they relocated him back to America, and the very next day he turned up at work, they fired him. Now that sounds harsh. But the problem you have to deal with as a boss with someone who's not doing their work properly is it brings pain to the company, pain to the business, and it becomes difficult to get the work done properly. And so that creates a dilemma for those who are in charge to somehow to address the problem. And if the problem is addressed and the person doesn't respond to the discipline that's being implemented, what do you do? So those for whom the sluggard work also suffer from their laziness. They will never know what will happen when they give them work. Will it be completed? Will they meet their deadlines? Will they do a good job? Or will there be a mess that needs to be cleaned up by those who are responsible for those under him? And I want to tell you, ministries like that. There are times when people leave just a mess in their wake in ministry because they don't complete the task. Because they're lazy, they're not diligent, and they don't do things properly. And someone else then has to pick up the pieces of the way in which they've operated. So don't be that person. Contrast that with he who is diligent, there will be a highway before him. In other words, the Proverbs are saying those who work hard, those who are diligent, those who complete the task, they will enjoy the contentment of completing that task. And they will enjoy the blessing of that. And then secondly, the sluggard's lesson. So those were four sub-points under the first point. And now we get to the second point. The sluggard's lesson. By example, 6:8-10. 6:8-10. Let's read again from here. Verses 6:8-10. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. If you go to chapter 10, verse 5. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. And then if you go to, which I do have, which I think I printed out, Jeremiah 8, verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Or Jeremiah 46:17. This is just to supplement the Proverbs. There they will exclaim, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is only a loud noise. He has missed his opportunity. Or Isaiah 56, verse 9-12. Come, all you beasts of the field. Come and devour all you beasts of the forest. Israel's watchmen are blind. They all acknowledge they are mute dogs. They cannot bark. They cannot lie around and dream. Sorry, they lie around and dream. They love to sleep. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. Each seeks his own gain. Come, each one cries. Let me get wine. Let us drink our fill of beer. And tomorrow we will be like today, or even far better. In other words, here are people who are frivolously passing away their time. And so what the Proverbs then says to us, go to the ant. Look at the diligence of the ant. Look at one who has no commander. Look at one who stores up provisions in winter. Contrasted with the sluggard who doesn't make provision for the future, who doesn't store up things for future disasters that may occur. Here is the smallest insect you can find, and this insect is working diligently to make sure that they have provisions for the future. And so the obvious application in that is if the ant knows how to work, then you and I should follow that example. That we should too make sure we are storing up provisions for the future. That we shouldn't just think about today and today only. Yes, I know that there is a sense in which today has enough trouble of its own. But God would say to us, that doesn't mean we become unconcerned about the future. We need to provide for the future. We need to make sure that we are making plans so that our future is covered. That we don't just allow ourselves to get caught up in this kind of mindset that says, well, only today, only today, because if disaster happens tomorrow and we are unprepared, what then? How then do we handle it? The sluggard allows an opportunity to pass them by due to their laziness, where the diligent make use of every opportunity. They make use of their time. They use their time wisely. They plan carefully, and they are diligent in their time. You know, Paul talks about this. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked harder, been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, and exposed to death again and again." Paul, who worked diligently. Paul, who served with great fortitude. Paul, who was constantly thinking about the churches, thinking about the next missionary journey, planning where he would go in order to spread the gospel. Paul was not the kind of person who just sat back and thought things would fall into place, but carefully and diligently planned ahead. And so can I encourage you, be diligent in your planning. Think about not just today, but think about tomorrow. Think about the kinds of places where you'd like to be spiritually. Set out a plan as to how you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't just think you'll fall into it, but work out a reading plan in your Bible. Work out how you are going to evaluate where you are a year from now, where your spirituality will be. Don't just sit back and hope that you're going to be better off. That might mean attending church morning and evening. That might mean joining a Bible study if you're not part of that. That might mean following a particular reading plan in your Bible. That may mean reading a book or two on how to pray and learning about what prayer is. That may mean looking for a devotional that would challenge you and cause you to want to grow as a result of the challenges that come out of that devotional. But don't just sit back and think that it's all going to happen per chance, by chance. And secondly, the slugger's lesson by experience. 6:11. "And poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man." Proverbs 12:24. "Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor." Proverbs 24:30-32. "I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned the lesson from what I saw." In other words, don't allow yourself to get caught into the trap of laziness. Learn from the laziness of others, and by the grace of God, seek to implement the lessons we learn. Don't fail in the same places others fail. Learn from their failures. Learn from your own failures. Grow from the things that you learn through experience. Look at the lives of others. See where they've fallen over. See where they've failed. Learn from their failures and determine yourself not to fall in the same area. We must learn the lessons from the sluggard. We mustn't allow ourselves to get caught into the same trap that they get caught. And there is so much experience in older people. And I would encourage you, younger people, find an older mentor. Ask them the lessons they've learned in life. Ask them of the things that they failed in. Ask them the things that they wish they could redo and do differently this time because of their lessons they learned, so that you don't fall into the same trap, so that you don't stumble in the same way, so that you don't make the same mistakes. When I look around you, there's a lot of experience in this room. Can I encourage you, if you're younger, get alongside someone, go to them, approach them and say, "Please, can I catch up with you? Can I meet with you?" Learn from the experience they have, because there are some valuable lessons you can learn and some pitfalls you can avoid through learning from those who have walked the road already and faced those challenges in life. So learn from the sluggard. Learn from the experience of how those who fall in particular ways so that we don't fall in the same ways. So can I encourage you from this? Now, you may be sitting here saying, well, I'm not a sluggard. I'm not a lazy person. I'm diligent. And many of you sitting here, I know, are diligent. Many of you work hard. Many of you serve well. Many of you are probably serving too much in this church because you've just got too many things on your plate. And you're not the person that's been spoken about here tonight. So don't go away here feeling guilty. Don't go away here feeling, oh, goodness me, I'm doing 50 things. I need to add in another 10 because I don't want to fall into this trap. This is not you. So don't go away from here feeling as though you have to add on to your current things that you are doing. But for those of you perhaps who look at your life and think, you know, there's not a lot I am engaged in. There's not a lot I am doing, or there's some areas here that I can tweak and change and just modify a little bit. Can I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to convict you and to bring to you a point where you are willing to submit those areas of your life that have yet to come under the control of Christ, and areas in which you can make incremental, if not major, improvements in your walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us not to fall into the trap of those who are lazy. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and we think of how he served so well in his short life and how he finished the task of going to the cross and dying for us, may we follow in his footsteps. May we be like him. Help us to learn from the sluggard who finds it difficult to even lift the food to his mouth, who lives in a world of illusion. Help us to live in the world of reality. And we pray that you would fuel us by your grace, that we would be diligent in all that we do, for Jesus' sake. Amen.